Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up-to-date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon. On his feast day of St. Conrad of Parsheim, he was a Franciscan mystic and lay brother. He was born in 1818 in Bavaria, Germany. He became a lay brother in 1849. For more than 30 years, he served as the porter at the shrine of Our Lady at Valtotting. He was known for his Marian devotions and had the gift of prophecy. He died in 1894 and was canonized in 1934. Today on the Trumpet, Matt Palmer will talk to Gary Allwine in our conversation segment. Our OSU correspondent Dominic Demetay talks to Dan McCune about faith, man wars, and dangerous men. I guess we'll have to listen to find out. And Father Dan Dury tells us why the Divine Mercy is so special to him and what he's bringing to St. Catherine Parish. But first up, on April 27th, Blessed John Paul II will be canonized on the feast day of Divine Mercy. It was very important to him that we spread this devotion of Divine Mercy, and once said, "Right from the beginning of my ministry in St. Peter's See in Rome, I considered this message my special task. Providence has assigned it to me in the present situation of man, the Church, and the world. It could be said that precisely this situation assigned that message to me as my task before God." The devotion to the Divine Mercy has been growing. In the promises to St. Faustina, our Lord promises to wipe away and forgive all sin and punishment from one soul. Tim McAndrew and the Lady for Mercy have helped to promote this message throughout the Columbus community. Each year, parishes throughout the diocese have hosted special celebrations for the Feast of Divine Mercy Sunday with adoration, benediction, confessions, communion, and veneration, and the blessing of the Divine Mercy image. This year, many more are participating, and many will include special celebrations for the canonizations as well. Tim McAndrew joins Carrie to discuss the feast day and devotion and what one can expect while participating at one of the parish celebrations on Divine Mercy Sunday.
I'm here with Tim McAndrew, who is with the Laity for Mercy. Welcome to the Trumpet and St. Gabriel Radio.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, we would love to hear more about the Feast of Divine Mercy Sunday that's coming up. Tell us a little bit about the promises that are made by our Lord to St. Faustina, and then tell us about the Feast of Divine Mercy Sunday and how people can participate.
These are our Lord's words. I'm just going to read what he said in the diary, and this is diary insert 699. This is what our Lord says. He says, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that this Feast of Mercy, which is Divine Mercy Sunday, be a refuge and shelter for all souls, especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls that approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sin and punishment." Then he says, "On that day, all the divine floodgates of grace are open. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity." So we can see by what our Lord is offering there, he's offering complete remission of all sin and punishment on the Feast of Mercy. And one thing with the Feast of Mercy, there's a plenary indulgence offered by the Church, but most people don't understand plenary indulgence only deals with temporal punishment. What Jesus is offering is absolute pardon of all sin and punishment. So he's offering what I would say is, you can't be baptized twice, but the graces are similar to us. The graces are similar to a second baptism, is what he's offering on this day. So when you go to confession and when you receive communion in a state of grace, he wipes out everything. He lets you start new, just like a newborn baby.
So the Divine Mercy Sunday, especially for this year, is very important because of the canonization of our dear Pope John Paul II, who had a devotion to also to the Divine Mercy Sunday. What inspired you, Tim, to really become part of this and to help promote this devotion here in Columbus? Because I know many of the churches will be doing these devotions on Divine Mercy Sunday as well.
Right. Way back, I used to own a Catholic bookstore called the Gospel Missions. It was on the west side. And I was reading the diary when I was in there. And I was very inspired. And back then, I actually sold cars, too. So all the priests in the diocese were buying from me. So the bishop gave me a call, Bishop Griffin. And he asked if I could get him a car. And I said, sure. And so when I met with him, I told him about the Diary of St. Faustina. And I said, I'm very inspired by this. And I said, I think we need to spread this in our diocese. And I said, I got an idea for a newspaper to put one together. I said, this diary is so big, it's 600 and something pages, it's going to be hard for people to read it. And I said, I want to put a paper together. And he said, you have my permission as long as you work with Father DeVille. So I did, and we put one together, and we spread it out throughout Columbus. Well, within probably 1 month's time, people sent it all across the United States and actually into different countries. So instantly, the popularity of this newspaper just exploded, and I had no idea what was going to happen. And our Lord's hand was deeply involved with this. And that's basically how I got started with spreading Divine Mercy. I fell in love with the diary.
If somebody wanted to learn more about this devotion, and they can go online to your website.
Right.
And you have also the churches that will be participating?
Yeah, you can go right in there. As soon as you go in there, you'll see Columbus Diocese. You can click on that. It has you can click on which parish you want to go to, and it has their full agenda for you. The website is feastofmercy.net. That's feastofmercy.net. That's what Jesus called it, the Feast of Mercy.
And just maybe somebody that has not participated in the Divine Mercy Sunday, what can they expect when they go?
So I would expect about a complete blast of love that you never felt before in your whole life. I see people on Divine Mercy Sunday when they walk out of confessional just crying. They are overwhelmed by the day and can't ask for more than all the graces from heaven being poured out.
Beautiful. Our Lord is good.
Yes, very good.
Well, thank you so much, Tim, and we look forward to participating in some of these parish events that are going on in Divine Mercy Sunday.
Okay, thank you.
For more information, please visit feastofmercy.net. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. It's 7 minutes past the hour. Matt Palmer sat down with Gary Allwine to talk about how difficult times in his life have led to ministry that can help others.
Gary, it's good to be here with you. Thanks for joining us. We wanted to talk a little bit about just what the Lord's been doing in your life in recent years, but I think for our listeners to understand how he's called you in these recent years, we need to go back a little bit. Tell our listeners a little bit about you. Just quickly sketch where you grew up and where you went to high school and how you met Tina and your family. Just kind of give us all of that, and then we'll move in some different directions from there.
Okay. We grew up in the south end of Columbus, back in the Corpus Christi parish days. That school has been torn down, but it was a beautiful place to grow up. It was one of the biggest parishes in the diocese at one time. But anyway, so we moved from the south to east around the time I was in high school. So I went to Bishop Hartley High School.
Go Hawks.
Yeah. And I got into the food business, a little bit. And so at this point right now, you know, we have our own little catering business called Mustard Seed Catering. Anyway, so then I met this gal from Reedy High School as I was in the restaurant business. I was at the Hilton Inn East, and she started working there. And so we met, and then we end up being married. And her name is Christina. Her maiden name was Seymour at the time. But anyway, so Tina and I have 9 children. And Tina, you know, unfortunately, passed away in January of 2007. So we've kind of had quite a journey in the last few years, as a family trying to, work through that.
Tell us... at that time, 2007, as a friend of yours, I, of course, remember that, a challenging time. Tina battled cancer for a number of years before the Lord called her home. As you think back about those months, share with our listeners how the Lord worked in your life, carried you through this time, mm-hmm. even before her passing, some things that you and Tina were able to do. I remember you met with one of the cardinals, and you had some opportunity to really seek healing for Christina, and, mm-hmm. and she experienced healing in many different ways. Can you share mm-hmm. a little bit about her journey through cancer?
Yeah. I think it was tough, and it was probably about two to three years that, she battled it. But we did... go to Chicago. We talked to Cardinal George, for a little while. And we also got the opportunity to go to Lourdes in France. And we experienced that. And at that point, Tina was kind of getting a little bit worse. But The journey to Lourdes was great because it gave us a great amount of peace at that time in our lives. And I could tell that Tina at that point, you know, was, you know, if she was to pass, that she was just kind of getting ready. And, you know, I think the Blessed Mother and our Lord were giving her peace, you know, at that point.
We had a wonderful parish celebration of Tina's life. I can still remember, Gary, her beautiful funeral mass. Any thoughts or reflections on the way her life was celebrated in that mass? And our listeners, I'm sure, would find that strengthening.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was just reading the other day, you know, the letter that I got from Bob Ryan, and after the funeral, and he said it took him a while to write because, you know, him and his wife, Mary Jen, are good friends with Tina. And he did express that not only was the biggest funeral that he had ever done, is that it was just one of the most powerful. And but I think that, you know, how big that funeral was just, you know, just gave recognition to Tina as to how many lives she touched. You know, during her time here on Earth, she was 49 when she passed, but incredibly, her greatest gift was love, and you can just really tell that she touched so many people in her life.
This is Matt Palmer with St. Gabriel's Trumpet. I'm talking with Gary Allwine today. We've just finished learning a little bit about his beautiful wife, Tina, and her passing from cancer a number of years ago. Since then, their 9 children have continued to grow and do well. Gary's now a grandfather. His older children are having children, and that's beautiful. Our parish loves seeing all the Allwine grandchildren. So there's some great joy in Gary's life, but there's also some ministry opportunities. Can you talk a little bit about the legacy that you've tried to establish in memory of Tina and share with our listeners something about the Tina Allwine Fund?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so once Tina passed, we were approached by a couple that asked us if they could donate some money to a fund in Tina's honor and possibly, you know, to think about what type of legacy that she left that we could, you know, put that money towards and that type of thing. So we thought about it for a little while. And one big thing that came to our mind at that point was the fact that Tina loved to send our kids on Catholic retreats. At that point, we thought, well, you know, I think that we could probably establish a fund where the proceeds would go to help our youth go to various retreats, Catholic retreats and that type of thing. So Christina Ann Allwine Catholic Retreat Fund was then established. And at that point, you know, there was a certain amount of money that was in the fund and it would grow. And we started to give our youth money to go to Steubenville University, the youth conference there. So a few years passed and we thought, well, you know, it would probably be good to maybe expand this fund a little bit. And so we thought, well, how are we going to do that? So about 3 years ago, we started a dinner to raise money for the fund. And at that point, we were able to expand to give kids the opportunity to go to Catholic Youth Summer Camp and also Net Ministries. Net Ministries is an organization that come to, you know, your high school or your grade school and actually put on a retreat, whether it be the confirmation retreat or some sacramental retreat. But so the last 3 years, we've been raising money for that dinner, and we've done quite well, and we've been able to send, you know, a lot of children to the Catholic Youth Summer Camp and fund Net Ministries and still send kids to Steubenville University. So it's been really beautiful in that.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for taking time today to share with our listeners a little bit about the journey the Lord has you on. Your wonderful vocation as husband and father. Thank you for living it so beautifully. And Tina is showering graces through the Blessed Mother on our parish, on our diocese. Thanks for coming today and being with us.
Well, I believe that also, Matt, and I thank you for the opportunity.
For our listeners that might have some interest in knowing more about the Christina Allwine Summer Retreat Fund, it's now a part of the Catholic Foundation, so they can simply reach out to our local Catholic Foundation, catholic-foundation.org. and get more information on how they might contribute to that particular fund.
Sue, what's going on in the diocese we need to know about?
Chip,
I'm really looking forward to all the beautiful events taking place this week to celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. Don't forget about the special presentation at the cathedral tomorrow night. Two popes, two saints, perspectives on John the 23rd and John Paul II with Father Jared Wicks and Monsignor Frank Lane. It's from 7 until 8:30 p.m. The cathedral is located at 212 East Broad Street. Call 614-224-1295 for more information. Attention parents of 8th to 12th graders, if your child has done a community service project, they can win $500 with the Face Forward Service Awards. Visit faceforwardcolumbusblog.com for details. The deadline for entry is April 30th. On Sunday at 4 p.m., the Concerts in a Country Church series continues at St. Coleman Church in Washington Courthouse. This Sunday's program is String Along With Me, featuring music for orchestra and organ, composed by Handel, Mendelssohn, Bach, and others. The church is located at 219 South North Street. Admission is $10. And I'd like to wish everyone a happy Easter.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet OSU correspondent Dominic Demite had the opportunity to speak with Dan McCune. He's a freshman at The Ohio State University who is truly living his faith on campus. Coming from his hometown of Hudson, Ohio, Dan was introduced to the SPO group this year, and it has ignited a spark that grew into a fire for his faith. He'll be living in the SPO household next year and a member of the SPO Missionary Corps. Dominic speaks to Dan about how he wants to spread that passion to his fellow students on campus.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Dominic.
Wanted to ask you your involvement with St. Paul's Outreach and as a student on campus. Can you share how you got involved and how your faith life has impacted you over the last year as a freshman?
Yeah, sure. So I got involved last fall. I went to one of the Newman Center events the first week of classes, and I met one of the guys there named Patrick Stucker. He's a household member of SPO, and I was talking to him and we had a great conversation, and then he ended up inviting me over to a household dinner. So I went over to the house, met a bunch of the guys, and then decided to go on a Man Wars weekend, which was a sweet weekend, and it introduced Dangerous Men's. And with that introduction of Dangerous Men's, I was like really excited about that. So I decided to join Patrick's Dangerous Men's group last semester. And throughout the semester, I was part of the group. We met every week. And then it really culminated with the Steps of Freedom in Christ retreat later in the fall. And after that retreat, that was like a game changer in my faith, because it really made me passionate about what we do in St. Paul's Outreach and what we do through Dangerous Men's. And I had this conviction to like spread this to more men. And I decided to co-lead a group the next semester with Isaac Hebe, and I recruited like three or four guys to join our group, and they've had similar experiences this semester, so it's been great.
These things like Man Wars or Dangerous Men's, what exactly is that?
Well, Man Wars was just a weekend where a group of guys, we went out to a farm. David Bethel, his grandparents own a farm, so we went out there, and we just did like manly stuff. We were hanging out. We had a campfire building competition. I think it was like who can build the biggest campfire in 10 minutes like wins. And I think those types of like manly activities really appeal to men on campus, and you know, it like really makes them want to like get involved in SPO and like understand like where this joy and like where this sense of masculinity is coming from through the guise of St. Paul's Outreach. And I think eventually they'll come to understand that it comes from the Lord.
And how does that happen? So, you know, going out and building fires, how does that lead to following Jesus Christ?
So basically, you know, they see this group of guys hanging out, building fires, doing manly stuff, and they want to get involved. So, you know, maybe they'll come to a men's night, and if the guy comes to a men's night, he'll hear the talk at the men's night. And maybe that men's night talk will like speak to that guy, and he'll really feel something. You know, maybe he was raised Christian or raised Catholic and he kind of fell away from his faith. And something like this talk and this community of guys really just wants that, gives that person a desire to get more involved. And then, you know, through their involvement, maybe they join a Bible study or a Dangerous Men's group. And with that, I think they really come to know the Lord and come to know their faith better.
How has Christ impacted your life during this year? Were you always into your faith when you were in high school? And what does that look like for you?
Okay, so I was raised Catholic, and I went to a Catholic grade school and a Catholic high school. So I've always had faith in my life, but I was never truly passionate about it, and I never like felt a conviction to spread it to other people. So coming into college, honestly, I thought like I would kind of drift away from my faith, and I wasn't really sure like what was in store for me. But like I said earlier, getting involved in like Dangerous Men's and St. Paul's Outreach has really like convicted me, and it just like given me this sense of like motivation to spread this to more people, because like this message that we're spreading is truly amazing. And I think if everyone hears it and gives it a chance, they'll come to see it as the truth that it is.
And how do you spread it on campus? When you say spreading the gospel, what does that look like?
So a couple of weeks ago, I met a guy at the Union and we started talking. It was a great conversation. Turns out that he lives in my dorm. So I'll be talking to him in the next couple of weeks about like St. Paul's Outreach and what we do. I actually met with him last week. I went up to his room and hung out. And, you know, I think he just really sees like the joy that I bring. And he like wants to know where that's coming from. And eventually that will lead to the Lord.
So leading with friendship allows you to build a relationship with somebody and then invite them into your life.
Yes, I think it all starts with just like the love of Christ. Because you're not gonna reach anyone with like anything condemning or anything like that. It's just the love of Christ that really will bring people into it, and that's how it starts.
Great, thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
For more information on SPO, please visit www.spoweb.org. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a production of AM820 St. Gabriel Radio. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. St. Catherine's Parish will be hosting the live multimedia drama, The Messenger of Mercy, performed by Maria Vargo, on May 1st at 8 p.m. at the St. Catherine School Gym. The evening will be preceded by Holy Hour Confessions and recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet from 6:30 until 7:30. Father Dan Dury, pastor of St. Catherine Parish, spoke with Carrie about what inspired him to bring the message of Divine Mercy and to bring this performance to the Catholic community.
Welcome, Father Dury, to The Trumpet. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
You are the pastor for St. Catherine's Parish, and you are bringing The Messenger of Divine Mercy, it's a live multimedia drama, to the parish, to the school gym, on Thursday, May 1st. Tell us what inspired you to bring this drama to Columbus.
Well, I'm very excited about this live performance at St. Catherine Parish, primarily because the prayer Divine Mercy Chaplet, which was given to a Polish nun in the 1930s, apparitions of our Lord, to this Polish sister, and our Lord asked for this prayer to be prayed, Divine Mercy Chaplet. This prayer has caused two miracles in my own life. Mm. One had to do with my grandfather, who was actually very anti-Christian pretty much his entire life, was never baptized, and then it came to the point of, you know, he was on his deathbed, and my family really started praying this prayer, Divine Mercy Chaplet. And our Lord promises that his mercy will reign if you pray for those, especially who are at the hour of their death, that his mercy will reign. And this is exactly what happened because he asked to be baptized on his deathbed. And so as a deacon, I was able to do that. And that was actually on Thanksgiving Day. And so he was baptized. That means all of his sins were washed away and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was only 2 days later that he passed away into eternal life at exactly 3 p.m., which is the hour of Divine Mercy. It's the hour of mercy because that's the hour on which our Lord died on the cross. So that was very powerful, and it really hit home. This prayer works, and it's very powerful. And another story happened recently. Last year, my stepfather had a massive heart attack, what is called a widow's maker. 95% of people die when they have that. And he actually was dead for about at least 40 minutes. There was no pulse. But I remember praying this prayer during that time, and so did my brother and my family. And he came back to life. He resurrected from the dead. And we went shark fishing not too long ago. And he has no memory loss.
Wow.
So he's up and at him, and it was really quite remarkable. And the story aired actually on NBC. They aired the story about his resurrection. And I attribute that also to this prayer of divine mercy. So mm-hmm. this was also very personal to me, very meaningful to me. So I wanted to help spread the message of divine mercy. And this is where our Lord asks of us to help spread this message of his love for us.
Well, and it's incredible because you're personally experiencing the miracles that come with this chaplain and this prayer and this devotion. Why did you choose this particular rendition of this drama to share that message?
Well, the St. Luke Productions, who puts this on, has great experience in putting on live performances dealing with our faith, our Catholic faith. And I actually saw it advertised, I believe it was on another website, and I clicked on it, and it looked very exciting. This is actually new this year for them. They've only been putting this on for about a year, this particular drama. And so I knew right away our Lord was asking me to bring this message here, to spread that around the diocese. This is the only performance going to be occurring in the Diocese of Columbus. So I encourage everyone who can and is interested to attend this very, very interesting and well-done performance.
It'll be an incredible night. It is at St. Catherine's School Gym on Thursday, May 1st at 8 p.m. And you can buy tickets online.
You can buy tickets online on our parish website, stcatherine.com.
And you can also go to divinemercydrama.com to see more about what the drama will be depicting.
That's right. Well. There's more information on there. And actually, there's a preview clip. So you can watch a preview of the show.
Well, thank you, Father Jury. And we look forward to this event.
Thank you very much for having me.
For more information on the drama, please visit DivineMercyDrama.com. And to purchase tickets, please visit www.stcatherine.com. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with a brand new episode. If you have a story idea or event or something really crazy good going on at your parish that you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel's Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.